Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Daniel Henniger, the deputy editor of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal. He writes the Wonderland column. And we go to a word that is commonplace in the history of the United States, but each time it requires new attention when there's a conflict in Washington between the Congress, two houses, and two parties within the two houses, the executive and the judiciary, and the state governments who have comparable checks and balances. Dan, federalism here in 2021. I think we need a definition again so we can unpack this dispute, this unhappiness in Washington about some members of some parties not obeying other members of other parties, particularly the president. Of course, I'm speaking of Senator Manchin and Senator Sinema. What is federalism? Good evening to you, Dan.
Hi there, John. Well, federalism is pretty easy to define because it is so done in the one sentence, the 10th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, which reads, "The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people." So what powers the federal government does not hold belong to the states and the people who live in them. So this was distributed authority. It was created by the founding fathers in the recognition that this was a republic of states, and it remains so. And, you know, when Bernie Sanders keeps saying it should not be possible for two people, two senators, to hold up a piece of national legislation. Those two senators, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, represent the people of West Virginia and Arizona, just as at the founding of this country, the founders represented Virginia, New York, Massachusetts, South Carolina, and so forth. And no one would disagree, John, that those were distinct states back then. They were inhabited by people who regarded themselves as members of those states. That was the struggle back then. Things have blanded out, shall we say, in the succeeding more than 200 years. But I would argue to this day that most Americans living in their respective states regard themselves as citizens of those distinct sovereign states. And what's going on now in Washington with this huge piece of massive legislation that Joe Biden has proposed and the Democrats are pushing is kind of a, I would say, almost ultimate battle over distributed authority because in the United States, because so much of that legislation is going to arrogate authority and power over welfare policy, climate policy, spending, taxation to the federal government, essentially reducing the states to virtual nullities. And I think Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema are aware of that. They are aware of that distinction, and that's the battle that has been joined over federalism right now.
The puzzle is these threats towards these two senators, and other remarks puzzle me as well, Dan. The president has said, I believe I'm saying it correctly, but perhaps it's a paraphrase, to the Republicans, get out of the way. He's ordering 50 senators, and I guess nearly a majority in the House of Representatives, to get out of the way. Is this routine for presidents to ignore shared sovereignty, which you just identified, the ability of states and the federal government to work together, not for one to negate the other?
Well, you know, Joe Biden has a knack for saying things that I would assume the White House staff would assume he not blurt out loud. But the fact is, the Democrats have not much cared for federalism for a very long time. This goes all the way back to Woodrow Wilson, who thought that the United States would be better off running under a central administrative authority, in other words, the elites. During the civil rights era, the battle was between states' rights and civil rights, which I think was the last time the Democrats were able to make something resembling an honorable criticism of state authority. But now it has just come down to a battle over raw distribution of power. The Democrats have become a national party. That's the way they refer to themselves, the National Democrats. They represent Washington, and they represent Washington enacting statutes, laws, and so forth that simply direct the states to comply with whatever Washington wants them to do. And its highest level, Democrats regard this as the way they are going to produce great good for the American people. I personally think they have shown themselves incompetent at executing this or anything else. But when Joe Biden tells the states to simply get out of the way, that's what it's about. Steamrolling the 50 sovereign states by a huge machine running out of Washington. Those are the stakes that we're dealing with right now.
Reading about the contest in Washington from way outside, this comes down to a number, is my best understanding of what Mr. Manchin and Ms. Sinema have said. They want a number that comports with their understanding of the risk and management of the nation. Is that why the vituperation if it's about a negotiation? Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi know how to find a number, or don't they?
Well, that's a real good question. I mean, this piece of legislation just seems to be in pieces. The Build Back Better Act, was formerly $3.5 trillion. God knows what it is now. And a big question remains. Are Manchin and Sinema just looking for a top-line number, whether it's 1.5 or 2.5 trillion, or is there something more substantive on their minds? Senator Manchin has suggested it's more substantive. He said in the past week, we've already got two big entitlements, Social Security and Medicare, that are running out of money. Why should we enact the four new entitlements that have been proposed by Joe Biden affecting child care, elder care, pre-kindergarten, and community college when we can't even pay for the ones we have? He's talked about asking that these things be means tested, for instance, which the Democrats don't want to do. So there does seem to be some substantive disagreement on Senator Manchin's part, not just the spending number. But we'll see. You know, the left chased Senator Sinema into a bathroom in Arizona last week. And you can assume that the attacks on both those senators are going to escalate. This is the way the left does politics now. So it's going to get much harsher before it gets better. And we shall see whether either one of them breaks under this political pressure.
And Dan, the country awaits the resolution of this legislation. But a puzzle just in our final minute. What's the hurry? Do we know what the clock is that they're talking about? They must do this. They must get this done by the end of September, the end of October. What is wrong with negotiating this through the winter and starting again in the springtime? Is that a looser? We have about a minute.
I would say very quickly, the clock ticking was suggested by that Quinnipiac poll this week, which shows that President Biden's support among independents is sinking well below 40, even towards 30. And that means every swing district Democrat running out there is getting nervous about their chances of reelection. And the further closer you get to that election, the less likely it is, with the president's approval rating sinking, that you're going to be able to pass an enormous piece of legislation like this. So they got to get it done now and hope they can sell it over the next year, because the closer you get to that election, John, the less chance there is of anything being enacted.
You mean there is a clock ticking, and that means by Thanksgiving, because after Thanksgiving there isn't much business in Washington until what, February?
Yeah, exactly right. Keep an eye on that presidential approval rating.
Okay, we're waiting for a turkey. Dan Hennigan, the deputy editor of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, watching federalism at work in the 21st century. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stop. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell, and if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.